Hello and welcome to ASI Cast number 192. I'm your host John McCarthy, and I'm delighted to be joined today by the Chief Executive of Barb, Justin Sampson, and Chief Operations Officer, Caroline Baxter. Welcome, Justin and Caroline.
Thank you for having us. It's a great privilege to be on your first ASI Cast, John. Hopefully the first of many.
Thank you, Justin. Let's see how this one goes. but thank you, both of you, for taking out time, not least because it's been an exceptionally busy year already for Barb. Now, of course, front of mind for many is that in July 2025, Barb started incorporating TV set viewing to YouTube channels in its service. And that's been hailed as a landmark initiative. But why? Because it's no doubt brought more complexity to what is already one of the most advanced TV currencies in the world. So maybe we could unpack that over the next couple of minutes and maybe start then with the rationale as to, you know, why was measuring YouTube channels so important to Barb, your members and the industry?
Thanks, John. I mean, before saying why, I just want to correct a little bit of commentary that has kind of bubbled up as a result of the initiative, which is that I've seen some people saying we're doing this because of the narrative fueled by Google that YouTube is TV. And this is obviously a very vigorous debate, and I think we'll come back to it a little bit later. But I mean, one observation is that perhaps in a digital world, we shouldn't be surprised people are trying to boil it down to a binary argument. It is or it isn't. The reality is, and we'll come back to this a bit later, it's much more nuanced. But we didn't do it because of that narrative. We did it because of our positioning and our purposes. And we are the industry's standard for understanding what people watch. And our data fulfill three very important purposes. Within the advertising part of the business, our data enable a virtuous cycle of campaign optimization from pre-campaign planning through campaign planning, campaign delivery, assessing outcomes. £8.5 billion is spent in the UK each year on content, which programmes to make, which to acquire, where to distribute them. And a lot of that decision-making is underpinned by our data. And also our data is very important to the regulators and helping them to hold advertisers and broadcasters to account for their responsibilities to society. And indeed, our data is fundamental to major reports such as Ofcom's Media Nations report. And all of those purposes require comprehensive understanding of what people watch. And we took a big step forward in 2021 with what we called at the time a once-in-a-generation upgrade. Thanks to the use of router meters and extending audio matching to cover the streamers, we were able to deliver reach and time spent for the streamers, video sharing platforms and program content for the likes of Amazon, Disney and Netflix. But the gap we were still being asked about was content on YouTube. And the reality was we were reporting some content on YouTube because when a broadcaster made shows available through the YouTube channel, we got that. We could report that. But there's clearly a lot of other material on YouTube that people are interested to understand. And we went and asked the industry how we should prioritize the content we measure. And three key things came back. One is a real endorsement of our audience-centric approach to measuring all services, not just those services provided by sort of long-standing TV businesses. The second important priority was let's make sure we've got like-for-like metrics between all the services the Barb reports. And thirdly, a real desire, a real sort of pent-up demand for people to understand the content that people are choosing to watch on YouTube. And I guess that demand has been fueled a bit by that narrative that YouTube's getting more important on the TV set and all of that. So that's why we did it.
Great. I mean, you talk about the fact that you're now measuring it as a priority, but I think we're very aware that the UK market, like many others, has a number of YouTube measurement and YouTube measures available from a variety of suppliers. So what's unique, for those who don't know, about what Barb is doing?
So first, an admission. I know some bits about some of these other measurements and less about others. So I'm not qualified to assert unequivocally what makes us unique, but I can tell you some of the most important characteristics of what we're doing. Joint industry principles are at the heart of what we do, and a methodology. And these principles are shared largely with the WFA. So methodologies that don't discriminate for or against any of the media services we report, independent governance, consistent audience building blocks. Independent, I'll come back to that word again, is a major characteristic of this initiative. We're still open to collaboration with Google, but without having made progress in that space yet, we chose to move forward independently to meet this sort of pent-up demand for understanding the content people are watching on YouTube. We use a passive people-based measurement system. We're using established techniques, notably ACR audio matching, the same techniques we use to identify content on other linear and streaming services. So comparability is really baked into to what we do. And so independence, comparability, all those lovely joint industry principles are behind what we're doing here.
Great, great. Thank you. I mean, talking about those principles, they've obviously now manifested themselves in the announcement we saw earlier in the summer and the early results, which have in themselves generated, as you said, a lot of interest in the UK trade press and beyond. Now, as we're recording this episode, you've been reporting at a YouTube channel level for 3 months, so you've no doubt already seen some interesting trends. Caroline, what are some of the early insights that you've discovered?
Yeah, so a few headlines. YouTube is big, which we know, but it's particularly big amongst kids. So in the last week of August, 12 of the top 20 of the YouTube channels were kids focused. And in the first sort of 7 weeks of measurement, Peppa Pig was the biggest. Now, we don't know if that's a symptom of the school holidays. So, we're going to monitor it and see and assess the back to school trend. So that's the really first sort of thing that's very noticeable. We have also noticed that new content drives reach. So when a new video's dropped, reach can really go up. And Mr. Beast is a really good example of that. I mean, he still has very big numbers throughout, but he drops a new video every couple of weeks, and you can really see that uptick. Which brings me to the final point on the importance of archive content. So we've only been measuring since April, and it's led to a question, how important is archive? And I think, again, we're still monitoring this for the kids' channels where reach is sort of driving up sort of consistently. It looks like it could be important. But again, with Mr. Beast, it's really evident that archive is not playing a key part there. So the jury's out at the moment, and we'll keep monitoring it.
Great, thank you. Let's come back to Mr. Beast maybe in a bit. But congratulations on the findings that you're already seeing, and I'm sure it's informing the industry. But obviously, you're the first JIC to do this. And as we know very well, being first doesn't necessarily mean plain sailing. So, what were some of the biggest challenges you had to overcome, and how did Barb's solve them?
I think the first one was, where do you start? YouTube is got such a breadth, where do you start and where do you stop? So we work with an independent company called SeaViews who specialize in planning ad campaigns on YouTube. And one of the reasons we chose them was the importance of having channels that are aligned to our industry agreed standards. And SeaViews had some very clear categories that we felt ensured would be upheld. So categories such as content created for TV, content created by professional media companies, and so on. So we felt that was a really good start point. And then we did look at volumes. Volumes are obviously really important that we're selecting some of the most viewed, but we also wanted to make sure that we were being representative. So for example, when we first did the first cut, over 50% were kids channels, and we were thinking that probably wasn't going to be the most insightful for the industry. So we decided that we'd cap it at 10% of kids channels. So things like that that we, but primarily it is the most viewed, but there are just some tweaks that we've had to do.
Gotcha. I mean, you talk about those 200 that you identified. Many could argue that defining a small group of 200 in that scale of YouTube is perhaps a big challenge. Do you feel that defining that 200 helps or hinders the industry?
I mean, we've really only had feedback from the industry that they've welcomed, as Justin was talking about, the independence, the transparency of what we're doing. I really haven't heard anything about hindrance at all.
Okay, I mean, do you plan to revisit that channel selection, or are those 200 now set in stone?
No, we're already reviewing them. As a sort of keeps, we want to focus on what will give the industry useful insight. So we're working now on a roadmap of what that might look like. I don't know more at the moment. We definitely will be reviewing and ensuring that they're adding value for the industry.
Okay. So thank you. So the breadth and making that channel selection was obviously a key challenge. What other challenges were there?
I think so. If we talk about audio referencing, which is the measurement technique, which on one hand is great because it's an established way of working, something that Bard's been doing, measuring the streamers. We know it's very robust. I think though it did bring challenges when it comes to YouTube content. YouTube content, so to minimize false positives, we did again have to do some exclusions. So videos that were we've gone for videos that are at least 2 minutes long. We've excluded YouTube Shorts. We've excluded music channels and channels who solely produce non-original short clips because the audio referencing would struggle to actually identify the correct channel that it's played to. And sort of because of that issue, we also designed what we're calling our duration exclusivity indicator, which is a 3x3 matrix where we assign an alphanumeric indicator. So people are really clear what level of duration threshold and exclusivity each channel has. So to bring that to life a little bit, Mr. Beast, which we've talked about, he would be an A1 because predominantly it is long form exclusive content, where you've got another channel like IGN, which has got many short form trailers and clips that are available across YouTube channels. So again, I believe it really helps with the transparency of being very clear about what we can and cannot do. And so yeah, it's a challenge, but I think we did overcome the challenge.
Right, fantastic. Congratulations. I mean, audio matching, as you said, is well established within Bard measurement and other currencies as well around the world. And obviously, as a consequence, I know that Mr. Beast is already measured because it appears on other channels too outside of YouTube. So, I mean, what does this mean for both broadcasters and streamers' original content on YouTube and on other platforms?
Well, I mean, it was a very conscious decision not to include the broadcaster and streamers that are already measured by Barb in that 200 because they're already included in the audience numbers. So you can find that data already. And much has been written about ITV's decision to make content available on YouTube. And we can see what's going on there. And whilst it's a small part of the channel's overall reach, we do see that viewing to ITV1 content, for example, would have ranked third amongst our top 200 if we had chosen to include it. So, and similarly, the content from Sky Sports and the ability to watch Sky News and GB News sees them rank in the top 10. So I believe we're not excluding, it's still there, it's just not in that particular list of 200. And I think the other point to make about sort of the streamers is that creators that are putting content on YouTube often are doing content, that same content or other content on streaming services. And they're achieving big TV set audiences that are bigger than YouTube. So I think if we take Amazon Prime Video and our friend Mr. Beast, they produced the Beast Games in 2024, and his final episode drew an audience almost five times the size of his largest individual video that we've measured on YouTube. So it's an interesting, another interesting analysis and insight that you can get from Barb.
Okay, so I mean, it begs to ask the question then, if Mr. Beast's game show episode drew an audience almost five times the size of an individual video on the Mr. Beast YouTube channel, does YouTube necessarily then belong in TV? I mean, Justin?
Well, building on the point I made at the top, is it TV, is it not? I mean, there's a world-renowned marketing guru that I'm sure many viewers have heard of called Mark Ritson. And I think it was he who coined the phrase bothism. It's not about yes or no, it's yes and no. And what's difficult to argue with is that YouTube is a platform where viewers expect to be able to watch a wide range of content. And what's also true is the broadcasters for many years have distributed content through YouTube. So BT Sports used to show the Champions League final through their YouTube channel, and people would watch that on a TV set. And that experience is clearly indistinguishable from watching the same content through BT Sports channel available on the Sky platform through the TV set. So if we sort of look at YouTube and say it's a platform, perhaps we the better comparison is how much time people are spending watching YouTube compared to how much time do they spend watching content through a Sky EPG or through a Freeview EPG. But I mean, the truth is, whatever you want to compare with what, there is this growing symbiotic relationship between broadcasters, streamers, and YouTube. As Caroline's already said, some of the most watched channels on YouTube in our data are TV channels, and some of the most watched content on streaming services, Beast Games, Miss Rachel, has been commissioned from content creators who cut their teeth on YouTube.
Okay, I mean there's a lot to unpack there, and in fact many of the points you raised there we're going to be covering in the content and distribution section of the forthcoming ASI conference. So it'd be great to unpack that with you. Obviously, the points you raise are going to be of interest not just in the UK but more widely amongst other audience currencies, TV currencies around the world. Now, great to find out about the findings from the data, but what's the industry response been after nearly 3 months, or just over 3 months?
And I'm going to start with a couple of negatives, actually, if that's
Okay.
okay, and then come to the overwhelming positive reaction we've heard. I mean, we have heard comments about the fact that we're not doing the back catalogue, which of channels, which Caroline referred to earlier, and it's true. But there's mixed evidence about what it adds, and we did before finalising the decision not to put a big back catalogue in. We tested a couple of channels to see the extent to which building out the back catalogue would change the numbers, and the picture on two channels we tested was that having a large back catalogue would not add much in the way of reach, and it wouldn't actually add an enormous amount in terms of time spent viewing. But the reality is, the impact varies from channel to channel. So to Caroline's point earlier, for something like Peppa Pig, kids are going to be watching that what. Wide range of content that's available, regardless of whether it's just been dropped or it was dropped 2 years ago. But Mr. Beast is different, and we've got a very clear evidence of, I think it was a video, I spent 1,000 hours in an underground temple. Lots of viewing in the first week or so after it was, this is from our panel data, lots of viewing in the first week or so after that video was available, but then the viewing sort of really tails off. And so the back catalogue point is one that we're learning more about. The other thing that's happened is some people have kind of publicly disputed our numbers with reference to the number of views that are reported by YouTube. And that simply falls into the trap of using false equivalents. We're reporting reach figures which are deduplicated. The number of views YouTube report doesn't do that. Our reach figures are UK only. Again, YouTube view figures aren't that. And our reach figures for channels are at least 3 minutes of continuous viewing, which is our standard definition. And again, YouTube has a much lower viewing threshold before it counts a view. But putting those sort of challenges to one side, there's been really, really positive feedback, independent evidence, lots of people championing that. To quote one leading strategic media planner, he wrote an article, John Manning, talking about the importance of consistent definitions and independent methodologies instead of proxies and guesswork. And actually, interestingly, also immediate interest in our data from government. which we understand is quite interested in being able to understand the impact YouTube has on the provision of children's content. So that's a bit of evidence that the information, going back to the three purposes I talked about at the beginning, we're hitting interest level points in all parts of the industry.
Fantastic. The what about we've heard from analysts, we've seen obviously the value that Caroline talked about as well. What about the response from streamers or platforms?
Massive interest in the data. I mean, I've said before, man cannot live by first party data alone. And one of the common threads to our conversations with streamers since they've been working with our data is the way that they can see the whole market. They're not just reliant on their own first party data for understanding what's driving viewing. That said, it has led to what we hope is a temporary breakup between Google and Barb, and then it's no longer buying a Barb license to use our data. But we are still talking. We're actively looking for ways to bridge gaps in our positions. We know advertisers want us to get closer, and we're, as Barb, committed to finding a solution.
Great. I mean, that commitment is fantastic. I mean, obviously there's value for that for everyone, both on buy and sell side. So maybe we can turn to buyers. I mean, are there any insights specifically from agencies or advertisers as to how they're using the data? Could it convince advertisers who've been reluctant to buy on platforms like YouTube thus far to invest?
It's early days. What I'm going to be showing in Copenhagen is this thing called a media measurement loop, which is essentially goes back to the idea of a virtuous cycle of campaign optimization. So starting with getting the insights you need to help you understand where to allocate your budgets, through to implementing campaigns, assessing the delivery of the campaigns, and then using that delivery data to inform on outcomes and effectiveness. What we've done so far is really just targeting the first part of that cycle, the insights that are needed to help with budget allocation. And and so there is an acknowledgement that what we've done is not sort of informing the whole of the loop, but it's a great starting point, is what we're hearing. And there is a real appetite for us to go further. Advertisers have been actively looking to work with us on some, we haven't said anything publicly too much about this yet, but some behind the scenes proof of concept work to see if we can use a form of independent ACR to track exposure to campaigns that run on YouTube. Again, we're hearing the advertisers say this is important because it's about independent validation. It's about getting a really good understanding of incremental reach of YouTube over linear, and also help answer the question about what proportion of YouTube impacts are outside your target audience. So that's where we're at. And we're really pleased that there's an engaged industry wanting to learn more from what we've done and wanting to talk about how we can take it even further.
Fantastic. Well, looking at taking it even further, obviously YouTube measurement is one component I know of an ambitious roadmap that Barb, the Barb team and your stakeholders have in mind. What else is on the roadmap? Caroline, maybe you could
Yeah, I'll start. So, we've launched our Barb Panel Plus prototype, where we're looking to further embrace big data and assess the impact of adding return path data to our measurement service. So initially, the prototype is focusing on Sky set-top boxes and HBB TV data. And we're expecting early results, we're expecting in quarter one next year. So the prototype's going well. And we've also got the establishment survey out to tender. We've got bids expected on Monday, actually. It's the first time we've put it out in 9 years. And we're really keen to assess looking at different newer survey modes, which we think can lead to a more efficient and future-focused solution. So we're really excited to see where that's going.
Fantastic. We're recording this a couple of days before Monday, so hopefully we'll release it as soon as we get out. But it does remind us that we might need to ourselves adapt at pace here at ASI in terms of getting the podcast out. But measuring YouTube, as audiences move across platforms and across media, increasingly is ever more prevalent, as Justin, you said, for advertisers especially. What else does Barb have underway to deliver more for advertisers?
So going back to that idea of the media measurement loop and this virtuous cycle of campaign optimization, a really important development for us, which will land very early in the new year, is a unified interface for CFlight and our pre-campaign planning system, which is called Advanced Campaign Hub. The new system is going to be called Barb Ads Hub. It will include CFlight and it will launch in the new year. It's been developed for Barb by RSMB. Streamers are already a fundamental part of the pre-campaign part of the system, and there are active conversations about getting them into the CFlight reporting too. We're also in a very detailed phase of planning for moving our reporting to being based on second-level granularity. It's not something we can flip a switch on. There's big questions and solutions needed around infrastructure, around trading policies that need to be reviewed and adapted, and this is across the whole industry. Among other things, a move to second-level reporting will enable us to report metrics aligned with the MRC cross-media standard. So we're looking at the idea of a finite menu of exposure metrics, 100% view through, going down through quartiles to the MRC minimum of at least 2 seconds. And the great opportunity this gives the UK industry, for Barb, working with ISBAR, and we are again very committed to collaborating with ISBAR to meet advertisers' requirements across media measurement. But we've got a great opportunity to be the first market to fully deliver video reporting that aligns with the MRC cross media standard for video. So quite a bit to do.
Yeah, you've got a busy couple of months and quarters ahead, it seems.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's fantastic to hear from you both. And you talked about the MRC. George Ivy will be joining us in Copenhagen, as of course, Justin and Caroline, you will be too. So to those listening who are listening to this before our conference in early November, you'll see Caroline, Justin, and many others there. You can ask questions, I'm sure, and contribute to the wider debate. But it just leaves me to thank you for your time, to congratulate you and your measurement partners and suppliers for this latest breakthrough, and looking forward to what's more to come.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, Caroline. Thanks, Justin.
Thank you.
Bye
See you
bye.
soon. Bye bye.